And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
I have someone here who is a regular guest, Luke Smith from Envision Financial. Afternoon, Luke.
Good afternoon.
Nice to have you here with me and in our only segment for the fortnight in which I'm filling in.
So I'm sure we'll have a bit of fun.
I'm sure we will. Now, tell me all about this. It is a little bit complex, I think, but the transfer balance cap on superannuation. So what is it?
So this one really was brought about a number of years ago that limited the amount of money that you could have in super that would allow you to draw tax-free pension income.
Yeah, and is that right? And then you're allowed to draw a certain amount every year, is that right?
Yeah, so when you retire, you sort of build up your super and then you say, okay, I'm going to take an income stream out.
Yep.
And what the transfer balance cap does is it puts a limit or a capital limit on the amount of money that you can have in that pension to benefit from the tax-free status that a pension provides. And that's advantageous because, as we know, over 60, any money that comes out to you, tax-free.
Yep.
Anything earned inside a pension up to the transfer balance cap, tax-free.
Right. So there's the catch, though, up to the transfer cap.
Correct. And it comes into play because it started at 1.6 and then it got indexed to 1.7.
Right, indexation is the...
And then it just recently indexed to 1.9.
Right.
Now, whilst that sounds great, a big misconception and one of the things that I think is relevant at the moment, because I've had four or five conversations, especially with defined benefit members, so DFRDB, MSBS, CSS and PSS, the government schemes, they're treated differently than a standard superannuation fund. So it's really important just to raise that awareness that this isn't a one-shoe-fits-all sort of scenario.
Right.
And you really need to think about your situation and how you're going to fund yourself in retirement, because the impact for a normal super fund against the impacts for a defined benefit member, which is one of those four government funds, is very, very different, because it's a bit like trying to compare a Mack truck to a Mini.
Right.
They're both vehicles, but they have different characteristics, so you have to drive them differently.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's just come to light because this week I've had a number of conversations around, well, the assumptions out there have shocked me around what it is, and I really just wanted to try and clarify today that this is not the Grim Reaper that people seem to think it is.
Right.
Because all that really happens for all the listeners out there is if your superannuation was at $2 million, right? You've got $2 million in your super fund and you want to start a pension. What the government will say is you can start a pension with $1.9 million and that last $100,000 is deemed an excess component because it's in excess of the limit. Now, all that means in simple terms is that $100,000 earns some money and you pay 15% tax on those earnings just like you did in your accumulation phase of your working life. That is all that means.
Okay. So it's – so – but then, you know, and if you're talking it's $100,000, if it's $500,000, you're paying the same level of tax as what you were when you were contributing to your super.
Spot on.
Up until the age you could – but so – so they're the so that's the restrictions then, and that's the only tax implication, or are there others?
No, there's not so much a tax implication, but it's the treatment of the earnings on the money that you've accumulated. The money that comes out to people over the age of 60, still tax-free, and if you have an excess component, you can still pull it out tax-free. No change on that front. It's just how it's treated inside the superannuation environment, because you won't get that tax-free status like a pension. Now, one thing that people need to keep in mind, and this misconception I get a lot, is, well, I started my pension when the transfer balance cap was 1.6 million.
Yes.
Now it's 1.9 million. I have an extra $300,000 of room. Now,
yes.
I can understand completely where people come from when they make that assumption, because that to me sounds very logical. But none of this legislation is created by people that come at it from a logical standpoint. So to illustrate what happens, let's say you've used 80% of your transfer balance cap in 2017 at 1.6 million. And it's gone up to 1.9 million. Now, as we said, you would think, oh, I've got 300 of room to play with.
Hmm.
But if you've used 80% of your cap at 1.6, you've got 20% left.
Right.
Okay. You get 20% of that indexation.
Right.
So there's a formula for working out what you're entitled to. So it's important that people don't assume, well, it was 1.6 when I started my pension. Now it's 1.9. I'm going to throw in an extra 300 because I have the room.
Mm.
Be very careful making that assumption, because you may not have the room, and then you may be penalised from a tax perspective for making a contribution that you're not eligible to make.
Right, I see. And so this is what you're now trying to bring awareness to, that even while people might know that there's the cap, they may even know that it's gone up. They may not necessarily know these finer, granular details.
And that's it. I just want to try and dispel this fear of the transfer balance cap as this big black cloud that is horribly restrictive, and I'm going to pay so much more tax. You probably won't. And some of the things that you need to keep in mind is, if you make lump sum withdrawals from super, you can get a debit against how much you've used of your cap. So there's a debit and credit system that applies, a bit like a bank account. I put money in, I take money out. I've used some of my transfer balance cap, I get a credit for some debit I've taken out the money.
Right.
So it's a living, breathing thing in some situations. You can also use the transition to retirement legislation from your super, and that doesn't get impacted by the transfer balance cap. So a transition to retirement pension does not trigger the recording of your transfer balance cap. Now, that's a little technical for a Friday afternoon, but
I'm sitting here closely taking it in, paying close attention.
All I'm illustrating is that there are ways to work around this, and I don't want people to restrict or stop what they're doing, which could be great accumulation strategies, worrying about the transfer balance cap. And I've had a number of people in this week who've come in and said, well, I don't want to put any more in, or I can't put any more money in because I'm at that limit. Now, another big misconception there is, I've reached my transfer balance cap. And what that means is you can't put in a tax-free contribution.
Right.
Okay, it's known as a non-concessional contribution, yes, where, say, you sold an investment property and you wanted to put $300,000 into super and not claim a tax deduction. If you reach your transfer balance cap, you're no longer eligible to do that. What you can always do is make a tax-deductible contribution to super.
Right.
Which, and we know, is the limit of $27,500, and that's the annual limit, which will index to $30,000 from the 1st of July. So keep that in mind. If you've got salary sacrifice in place or you're making contributions, remember that $27,500 jumps to $30,000 from the 1st of July. But even over your transfer balance cap, you can keep making salary sacrifice contributions or personal deductible contributions, or use the catch-up concessional contributions, which means you go back and look at what you haven't used, where it's eligible for you, and make those contributions. If you do reach your limit, you can keep making salary sacrifice contributions on an annual basis and keep managing your tax and building your super, even though you've reached the transfer balance cap.
So even if you reach the cap, it is still advantageous from a tax point of view to continue to make those contributions, even though it is over and above that cap. It's still better for you tax-wise.
Exactly, because an example there could be that you earn $150,000 working in the government, make up a job, and you pay tax at 39 cents in the dollar. If you put $10,000 into super, you pay 15% instead of 39. So you're exactly right. It's advantageous for you to make contributions to bolster your retirement capital. You also get tax deductions along the way for doing it each year that you do it. And then what if you got to retirement, went to start a pension, and in that example had $2 million in super? All you do is take out $100,000 as a lump sum, tax-free over 60, put it into your spouse's super, and use their transfer balance cap to start a pension, which could be completely tax-free if you've reached your limit. Mm-hmm. So again, don't be scared about what could or couldn't be. Find out, because there are a number of strategies that we can use to try and maximise the tax efficiency of the benefit that you draw when you do reach retirement. Don't penalize yourself unduly thinking that the transfer balance cap is going to get you when there are ways to get around the tax implications of what you do.
And okay, and from a legislative point of view, it's advantageous to the government as well, because they're saying, okay, we'll let you have this threshold as such, this cap, but then when you go over and above, well, we're going to take our percentage of the tax as well. So it's the, you know, there's something in it for them too.
And this isn't new, right? So it used to be called a reasonable benefit limit.
Right.
In the early 2000s, we had reasonable benefit limits, which was exactly the same thing by a different name. And then the government at the time said, oh, no, we're going to do you all a favour and get rid of that.
Mm.
And then a couple of years later, they went, oh, here's a transfer balance cap, which was just a different coloured apple.
Yeah.
So it wasn't new.
No.
But again, there's always ways to work around it. And that's why understanding what you're going to do as you lead into retirement is important, because if you leave it too late, it may restrict your capacity to maximise your choices, because you've made an assumption that actually may not be as bad as you think. I've had four or five people come in this week and raise this issue, and I thought it was quite topical, so hence it's today's chat.
Okay, so options and strategies when the caps are exceeded. So maybe we should take a break and get back and touch on those.
Cool.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Terrific. Luke Smith with us from Envision Financial. Luke Smith from Envision Financial. We've been talking about transfer balance cap and superannuation. Luke's given us a great overview on that it's really not a big bad ogre to be frightened of. You can actually use it to your advantage. So give us now, Luke, the options and strategies if you do exceed your cap.
Yeah, so as we said before the ad break, I think it's important to remember, where am I going to save my money? So if you do exceed your transfer balance cap, remember that once you've met a condition of release, i.e. I quit my job, I'm over 60, and I can go to my super fund and say, hey, I've met all the criteria to say I've retired. You can pull out the excess over the transfer balance cap, and you could use that money to make a tax-free contribution into a spouse's name.
Right.
Because they may not have reached their transfer balance cap.
Right.
Which means they could use your money to start a pension in their name.
That's a good option.
And pay no tax. The other big advantage there is that...
provided that you like your spouse.
Well, it depends how long you like them for, exactly right. Just got to make sure you've got your estate planning paperwork in line. The other big advantage of that is that if it's in excess, the earnings are taxed at 15%. If it goes into your spouse's name and you're under the transfer balance cap, as we said before the ad break, all the earnings are tax-free. There's no capital gains in a pension, and you've got access to 100% of that money on a tax-free basis. So that's really, really handy. If you don't have a spouse that you can put that to, or you're lucky enough to both be in excess of the transfer balance cap, remember that money out of superannuation is tax-free. So you can hold $700,000 or $800,000 in a family trust, for example, outside of super. Now, if that trust generated $40,000 of income, that's 20 for you, 20 for your spouse. Tax-free threshold's 18,000. So you can have $800,000 of assets roughly paying 4 or 5%, you'll still pay no tax.
Yeah.
So again, not all bad. And that's all we want to try and get from today, is get people to not be scared of the transfer balance cap. Another thing to keep in mind is the downsizer.
Yeah, what downsizer contribution.
Yeah. So I said before the ad break that you can't make a non-concessional contribution if you're over the transfer balance cap. That is the case. However, you can make a downsizer contribution and be in excess of the transfer balance cap.
Right. So what's a downsizer contribution?
So a downsizer contribution is when you sell your family home.
Yes.
And you want to put $300,000 per person over your lifetime on a tax-free basis into your super. Now, that is effectively exactly the same as making a non-concessional contribution, which is just a tax-free contribution. And the limit there is $330,000.
Right.
So again, don't assume, oh, I'm over my transfer balance cap, I can't use the downsizer legislation. You can. It just means that the $300,000 that you put in that example is in excess. And if that's taxed at 15%, but you can get it in there, that might be much, much better than holding it in your own name. If you've got 5 investment properties and you've got a lot of taxable rent, or you've got a lot of shares in your own name that's taxable, you might not want the money in your own name, and 15% in super might be a better tax rate than the tax in your own name.
Yeah.
So again, think about your situation and make informed decisions that are relevant to what you have going on, not what you think might or might not be the case when it comes to the transfer balance cap. Because yes, it's an inconvenience, but for the vast majority of people out there, it'll never be a problem. So don't let it cloud. Because the transfer balance cap, again, big misconception. My wife and I have this much in super. Great. We're over the transfer balance cap. It's not we. It's me.
Right. So that's each individual
limit. Big misconception there is it's the fund.
Right.
No, it's per person.
And so even if that's a self-managed super fund.
Correct.
It's the individual has the cap of 1.9 million Correct. Each. Right.
Because okay, in so a self-managed super fund, you each have a member account.
Right.
So again, we just want to dispel that it is the end of super as we know it. Not at all. We've been dealing with this sort of limit for many, many years. They just call it something different depending on who's in power. But there are ways to work around it. But don't let it limit other strategies that could save you tax or build good retirement wealth by thinking it's a problem when it actually may not be.
And essentially, that's precisely what you're saying here. I mean, obviously, it is complex, and this all of this stuff and this legislation is the politicians keeping wonderful experts like yourself in business. But there are options and strategies 100%. To deal with it is the 100%. Thing. So, I mean, and there's a lot going on. Even I'm taking in all of this new information, probably go home and say to my poor husband, now, I learned all of this, so really fascinating. Are we up to date with our superannuation? But it is fascinating, and that's why people need to go to experts like you to find out what they need to find out, and to essentially what you're saying is that it's don't panic.
Yeah,
it's all going to be okay, and you can use it to your advantage.
Yeah, don't assume that you can't do something because that might be costing you other tax savings and other benefits. I hate finding out, and this show came about because I was sick of people coming in making assumptions too late in life.
Yeah,
yes, this is how this show started.
Yeah, right.
You know, to try and dispel those myths.
Okay.
This is just another myth that we can dispel that it's not the Grim Reaper that ends everything.
Good on
you. Do what's right for you.
Okay. Couple of 30 seconds left. So tell us, how can they find out more, Luke?
Yeah. So office number is still 6260-4749. We've got envisionfinancial.com.au on the internet. That's Envision with an E. We've got the strategy stacker Luke Talks Money on iTunes and Spotify as the podcast. We've got the strategy stacker. We've got the handle on TikTok. We've got Envision Financial Canberra on YouTube where you can watch it on your phone. And all of these types of strategic considerations are in the book, Smart Money Strategy, Your Ultimate Guide to Financial Planning.
Good on you. Luke Smith from Envision Financial. It's been a very eye-opening afternoon for me. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.